may be seated if you like. Stand if you will.
In awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars.
Welcome you to this broadcast. It really is my joy to welcome you to our broadcast. They are always so wonderful to me. I love every minute of this time together with you, all of you, both on internet and both on Facebook and both on radio and, you know, some CDs and whatever. What a joy. God bless you. Now, the broadcast today is a special one. I really believe it's going to affect some lives. We're going to talk about it's time for God to reveal himself. It's time for God to say it plain, come down, to come down. The Bible makes it plain. David, the psalmist, cried out, oh, that thou wouldest come down like rain upon the mown grass. Then in Isaiah, we're going to go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Now, this language is not very familiar to the church world. In fact, almost none of the church world talks this language. They don't know that this Bible is full of God saying he's going to be revealed to the nations of the world. God is going to be revealed to the nations of the world. And the time of that, I believe, has arrived. I think we're living right on the threshold, right on the doorstep of the greatest revelation of God that this generation and maybe many other generations have ever seen. You know, some years ago, I was hearing among the real godly men of the Pentecostal world. I was saved in 1952. So I remember some of the great preachers like Wade Horton, Ray H. Hughes, and some in the Pentecostal holiness, and some in the Assemblies of God, and some in different Pentecostal settings. And these men would say that it's going to get dark. It's going to get terrible. We're going to have so much deception. It's going to be unbelievable. But then when the end starts to come, it's going to come in a fury. It's going to come with great speed. It's just going to happen, and it's going to happen very ferociously and very quickly. And I believe that day and that hour has come. I've been on my face now a year and a half, been on my face 67 years. But in the last year and a half, a layman in our church and I and a few others have spent hours in our sanctuary on our face. Every morning at about 6 o'clock, sometimes 5:30, never later than 6 o'clock, except in a rare occasion, we've been in that altar praying. In that altar, seeking God. My partner has been hunting today, and I hope he got a deer, because both of us love deer meat. I mean, we love it very much. And so I take his place and let him go deer hunting a couple times a year, and he's been deer hunting today. I hope he gets a trophy. I really does. I'm looking forward to a great, great piece of deer meat. Well, that's not the subject today. The subject is God's revelation of himself to the nations of the world. God's revelation of himself to the nations of the world. Can you believe that Brother Chambers knows what he's talking about? Can you believe that been in this Bible with all my heart, searching the Holy Scripture, yearning after the revelations of God, and then bringing to you the things that I believe God is speaking to me? And I'm desperate to get your attention in such a manner that you will begin to realize just where we are living and the hour we are living in, and that you'll get ready. I believe there is a movement that's taking place, and I'm hearing a little reports a few places that people are getting stirred up, and people are realizing, hey, it's about over. It's about over. The nations are going to know that there is a true and living God. His name is Jehovah El Shaddai, is one of the names I like. You don't read that one in the Bible, but it's interpreted in English as God Almighty. In Latin, it was interpreted as the omnipotent God. The omnipotent God. Well, he's the omnipotent God, and he's God Almighty. And the world is going to know that he is God. The world's going to know that there's no other God, that he's the only true and living God, that all these other gods are nothing but deceptions, demon spirits trying to draw men away from God and to draw them to the kingdom of Satan. But I'm telling you, the true God, the great El Shaddai, I like that term, El Shaddai. And you can find that in your dictionary and in theological studies, but it means God Almighty. Omnipotent God, and he's going to be revealed. The nations are going to tremble at his presence. Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 21 that men's hearts fell in them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Men's hearts fell in them. Now Jesus said this, Luke 21, Luke quoted Jesus and made it very plain that Jesus said men's hearts fell in them for fear, for looking after those things coming on the earth. That hour is right at the door when men are going to tremble for fear, for looking after those things coming on the earth. And we'll go to Acts chapter 2 in a little bit, and we'll see what it says. And I trust that you will listen. Get in your Bible and listen. Please take Brother Chambers seriously. Please take me seriously. Very shortly, I don't know the moment. Could be weeks, could be months, could be years. I don't think it will be, but it could be days. It could actually be hours. There's going to be wonders in the heavens above. Wonders in the heavens above. I'm looking for that. I'm watching for that. I'm expecting it any moment. I'm expecting any moment for signs to appear in the sky that's going to be breathtaking. They're not just going to be little things that can be easily interpreted. They're going to be things that get your attention. And I pray the media attention, and I pray the church world attention, and I pray the wicked and the unsaved attention. I still weep for the unsaved every day. I weep for those who don't know my Lord. I weep for those who need to be saved. I've been telling people everywhere I go, there's one thing God don't know. One thing, only one thing that God don't know. He don't know your sins that the blood has washed away. Now, if you've sinned again, then you got to repent. But when you repent and Jesus washes away your sins, God does not remember them against you. God does not remember. Isn't that wonderful? Acts, Hebrews 8, if you want to go read it. Listen now, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 64. I want you to hear this, and I want you to believe that the God in this Bible is the true and living God, and that this God is going to be revealed. This God is going to be manifest. The nations of this earth, as we now know it, is going to tremble and going to shake, and they're going to understand and find out that the true God is the God of this Holy Bible. The true God, the only true God, is the God of this Bible, Jehovah God, the Heavenly Father, the Almighty God, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, I really like that. I hope you'll start using it too. All right, let's go. Isaiah 64, verse 1. God, our God, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. God, Isaiah is crying out to God, and boy, have I been crying out. Oh, God, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Every man of God, woman of God, ought to be crying that out in their prayer times, crying it out. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. God's got a lot of adversaries. I got a lot too, but they're really not mine. They're God's adversaries. God's got adversaries, and that thy name might be made known to thine adversaries. Now listen, that the nations may tremble at thy presence, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. The liberals in America have gone insane. That the agenda that they are planning is nothing but an Antichrist agenda. They're getting the world ready for 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Can't start until the rapture occurs, which could be any hour, any moment. We don't know. But here it says, Isaiah talking, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. Listen to this, that thy name might be known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Now, the nations are about to tremble at his presence. No ifs and ands. All through the Old Testament, it talks about God revealing himself and the nations trembling. We don't see those terms much in the New Testament, but they are just as positive and powerful. The Old Testament is full of promises that will occur here at the end of the age. Now, let's read verse 3. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. Thou camest down. Ooh, come down, Father. Oh, I'm so anxious for my precious Heavenly Father to come down. I can hardly wait to see the glory of his revelation. I can hardly wait to see the beauty of his presence. Thou camest and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Now notice this. For since the beginning of the world, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither have the eyes seen, neither have the ears heard, O God, listen to this now, O God, the things which he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now notice that. What he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Now to whom is this going to appear? And who are going to be the first to see this? Him, man, men, women that wait for him. I'm talking about in an altar. I'm talking about somewhere on their face, on their knees, seeking the face of God. God is going to be known. God is going to appear. God is going to reveal himself. There's going to be a revelation of God. Now, I'm looking for it. I believe it'll be in my lifetime. I'm only 83. God has given me a miracle this year of healing that is breathtaking. I mean, I put it on Facebook this week. I had some people who didn't like it because I just told them what God told me. He told me not to go to the doctor or the hospital. If I did, I would die. But if I'd wait on him, he would heal me. 3 months later, God stepped into the situation and perfectly healed me. And here I am sitting in front of you, and I'm telling you, God is helping me. God is healing me. Oh, he has healed me. Now, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. I believe what God needs right now, what God is looking for right now, is men and women on their faces in prayer who will seek God an hour a day, maybe 2 hours a day some days, that they will seek God until they touch him, until they pray through. I hear people say all the time, you can't pray through. Well, they can't pray through because they don't know how to pray through. And they've never prayed through. And they don't believe it's real because they've never done it. Well, I've been saved 67 and a half years, and I know what praying through is. I've prayed through until God would show up in his power and glory, and it's indescribable the kind of revelations that God will give you when you pray through. And that's what God is waiting for. If anything holds God right now from moving in great splendor and revealing his wonderful glories and fulfilling all the promises of the Bible, he needs men and women who know how to pray. Men and women who have learned to pray. Not like, they're half dead, half asleep. I'm talking about pray until they cry out to God and there's a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. A mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the fires of God come down upon you, you pray through. And you haven't prayed through until the anointing of the Holy Spirit overwhelms you. And the presence of God becomes little and visible. Almost, maybe not always visible, but fillable. I promise you, you'll know it when you pray through. And if you haven't learned to pray through, you ought to be ashamed and quit claiming to be any kind of great Christian. You ought not be a preacher if you don't know how to pray through. I'm telling you right now, preachers that don't know how to pray through are a dime a dozen. They mean nothing for the real kingdom of God. And so I'm crying out to you that we've got to learn to pray through. And God is waiting for men and women who will pray through. God. Our God up in heaven is waiting for men and women who will pray through. Now, I've read you Isaiah 64, four verses. I'm going to read them again. I want you to get your Bible. I want you to mark them. Write it down somewhere. Isaiah 64, four verses. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, talking to God now, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known unto thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. I like that. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. Iraq is going to tremble. Iraq is going to tremble. Iran is going to tremble. Turkey is going to tremble. Russia is going to tremble. Ukraine is going to tremble. The nations of South Africa are going to tremble. The nations of South America are going to tremble. America is going to tremble. The Democrats in America are going to tremble. Are you listening to me? The Democrats in America are going to tremble. That bunch running for president on the Democrat side. Boy, there's some liberals there that is bad enough to blow your mind. Bad enough to blow your mind. What if Elizabeth Warren would win the presidency of this nation? I'll tell you what she'd cause. She'd cause the 7-year tribulation period to begin. I don't believe she could win without that. I'm telling you, we're there. Folks, if you've ever looked around you and saw what Brother Chambers is talking about, you need to see it. And he will cause the nations to tremble. He will cause the nations to tremble. And notice, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. That God's adversaries will know that Jehovah is God. That El Shaddai, the mighty God, the omnipotent one. I love that term, omnipotent. He does not know limitations. There's no such thing as limitations with God. Well, there's one. He don't know your sins. The blood is washed away. But that's a limitation he imposed on himself, because he doesn't remember when your sins have been washed by the blood. And that's his own choice. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for. Thou camest down. Thou camest down. And the mountains flowed down at thy presence. You remember reading in the Old Testament, Sinai, when Moses was up on the mountain, or when God came down on the mountain and the people said, please, please ask God not to do that again. You tell us about it. We can't take it. We can't stand it. That's how you're going to feel when God comes down in this generation, in this day. And it will be before the majority of us die. I believe that. I believe I'm 83, but I believe I will live to see it. I'm competing with Moses right now. He lived to be 120. So I'm competing with him. I don't know how long that'll last, but it's up to God. I tell you that right now. When thou didst terrible things, thou didst come down. Thou didst come down. Thou didst cause the mountains to flow down at thy presence. I like that. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have they seen, O God, listen now, neither have they seen, O God, thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Could I interpret that for you? What is about to happen has never happened as gloriously as is about to happen this time. He said that since the beginning of the world, man has not seen nor heard what God is about to do. What God is about to do. I'm telling you, God's about to move. God's about to shake things. God's about to turn this world on its nose, brother. I'm here to tell you the wickedness, the ungodliness, fornication, adultery, sodomy, lesbianism, transvestitism, I guess that's okay to say it that way, and all this stuff, aborting babies, even to the point of birth. What are you talking about, friend? If you think God's going to put up with that mess much longer, you're just not thinking with your head on straight. God's not going to put up with it for so long. And God is coming down, and the glory of God is going to be revealed, and he's going to be known by his enemies. I like that part of verse 2. He's going to be known by his enemies. Now who is God going to do all of this for? What he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Did you know that we are partners with God? That we're laborers together with God. Go to 2 Corinthians and read that in chapter 4. We're laborers together with God. We are partners with God. God does nothing without using his saints. God does nothing without using men of God. Men of God who are men of the book. Men who are in the revelations of God. Men who don't want any glory for themselves. I don't want the glory of what God's about to do. I just want to see it, and then I want to sail away to be with him. And the Bible says, if I confess him to others, Jesus will confess me to the Father. Jesus will confess me to the Father. And I can't wait for the moment when the Lord Jesus confesses me to the Father. I don't deserve it. Grace only could have purchased such an honor, but thank God for grace. Could you say thank God for grace? Thank God for grace. That's Isaiah 64. That's enough to take your breath. Are you hearing me? That's enough to take your breath. Now, I want to go to Acts chapter 2. You got to hear this. Acts chapter 2. And this is about to happen. And I can give you the timetable here. The timetable of what I'm fixing to read, the Bible says all of this will occur before the great and notable day of his coming. Everything I'm fixing to read in Acts 2, God says in the scripture, all of this will occur before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. Now that can only be one day when he comes to set up his kingdom on this earth. That's not the rapture. That's the coming when he comes on a white horse. When the raptured saints that have already gone up to heaven come back with him. And we set up his kingdom on this earth. We could be as little as 7 years away from the great 1,000-year millennial reign. We could be as little as 7 years away from the great millennial reign. Now, the 7-year period between now and then cannot begin until the rapture of the church. When the church has been raptured, the 7 years will start some short time thereafter. And when those 7 years are over, Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. The program was about that last week. And oh, I tell you, I loved it. We had a lot of people that listened to that program. Hundreds listened to that program on Facebook. And I pray thousands will listen to this one and understand. Hey, every one of you ought to share it. I don't understand why people who believe these great truths don't share them with all their friends. Are you ashamed of me? Are you ashamed of what I teach? Are you ashamed of these old-fashioned doctrines that you don't want your friends to know that you're caught up in them? If you are, I hope you repent. I really do. Because these things I'm talking to you about are going to happen as sure as my name is Joseph Chambers. I've been on this radio 47 years, and I've never told you nothing. I've never told you nothing that didn't have a biblical base to it. I really have not. I live in the Bible. I don't have any desire to teach you anything but the Bible. I really don't. So let's go to Acts 2 and let's get here a little bit. I want you to get the message. I want you to get the message that Jesus, that God, not Jesus in this case, but God, the Father, is coming down. Oh yeah, Jesus will be glorified with him. Don't you worry about that and don't even doubt it. It will be both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three that will be glorified in what's about to happen. I want to tell you something about the Trinity. The Father is the Almighty. He is the mind of the universe. The Lord Jesus is the Word of the universe. And the Holy Spirit is the omnipresence of the universe. God the Father is omnipotent. God the Son is omniscient. And God the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. I want to say that again. God the Father is omnipotent. God the Son is omniscient. And God the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. And all three are all three things. They are equal in all their existence and expression. But yet three persons, three beings. You understand now, three beings. No question about that. Jesus could intercede to the Father for us if he was the same as the Father. And Jesus couldn't introduce me to the Father at the end if he was the same as the Father. And he promised that he would. All right, let's go to Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, Peter is referring to Joel because the Old and New Testament are part of the same covenant. Two different expressions of the covenant, but both of them part of the covenant. The Old Testament was the pre-covenant of the blood. The New Testament is the revelation of the blood. And you got to understand, you got to keep them together. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, Peter's preaching. It's the day of Pentecost. He's telling those Pentecostal people what God has said. And here's what he says to them. But it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith who? God. God said it. Not Peter. God said it. Peter is quoting God. Joel had quoted God. Now Peter is quoting Joel, who was quoting God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now listen, I will show wonders in the heavens above, wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Before, listen now, and the sun shall be turned to darkness. It's going to happen. You're going to wake up one morning and the sun's not going to come on. You're going to say, what in the world has happened? It may be in the middle of the day. I suspect about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun will go out one day. It'll have to come on in a little while, or the earth would go into a frozen state. So God knows what he's doing. He's going to do it right. He's going to do it perfect. You don't have to worry about it. He made it plain, on my servants, on my handmaidens, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Now notice when this must happen before. I'm reading it to you from the Bible. Now, notice, please, Acts 2 and 20. Notice, please, that the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before. Are you listening to me? My eyes drifted there for a moment. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord's come. Before. Notice that word before. B-E-F-O-R-E. Have you got it? Before that great and notable day of the Lord come. I mean, the day of the Lord's coming has been a big thing throughout the scripture. And here Joel was quoting it, and now Peter is quoting Joel, who's quoting God, and he's saying, before that great and notable day, these things are going to happen, before the Lord comes. So you've just got a little time for this to all occur, and it's going to occur. God did not lie. You don't have one prophecy in the Bible that's ever failed, not one. And the Bible said that, and this is Jeremiah 1 and 12, that God is going to hasten to perform it. Oh, it's fixing to happen. Great. Hey, I can hardly wait. It's fixing to happen. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to already be right with God? Or maybe you're going to have to get right with God. But don't you put it off. I'm telling you right now, don't you put it off. You better get ready to get right with God. And I say that with all my heart because we are right at that hour. And I bring you things like this because I love you. I care about you. The promises of the Lord are yea and all and amen. And they could not be more perfect and more pure. And you got to believe them because God does not and cannot lie. Now, you know what? I'd love it. I'd get some calls here. I got everything on where I can take some calls from you. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. I would give you my very best to help you understand what is going on and what is about to happen. I'm telling you, I don't have any degree of pride, of bullheadedness. That I believe I prayed that all of that out of me. I don't want anything but the glory of God. I don't want to be manifest as some great man. No. I just want God to reveal himself. I want God to manifest himself. I want the nations to tremble at the presence of God. And I want God to put an end to his enemies. His enemies, those that hate him. I just read that to you in Isaiah 64, how that God's going to be known by his enemies. He's going to be known by them who've done their best to destroy him. He's going to be known by these political people who they don't care about God. All they care about is themselves. I'm telling you, folks, the hour is late and the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Get yourself ready, friend. Get yourself ready. Now, you saw what Isaiah, what Peter said in Acts 2. Very clear. Before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. God's going to be revealed. God is going to be manifest. God is going to be made known. Are you hearing that with me? Let's go back. Now, I want to read you Jeremiah 1 and 12. Because I want you to know that God is fixing to hasten what I'm talking to you about. It says it very well. Then saith the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my words to perform it. I will hasten my words to perform it. God is going to hasten his words now. We're coming down to the end, and God's fixing to reveal himself, and he's giving you a chance. I'm bringing you these things. God's laying on my heart because God wants you to repent. God wants you preachers out there to get on your faces and learn to pray again. Go to your sanctuary and build a fire around the church altar and start crying out to God for the awakening. See, we are God's instruments. God does what he does through his servants. God wants us to be involved in this preparation for the final hour. He wants you involved. He wants me involved. He wants every born again person who's been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost to become deeply involved in his kingdom and help get people ready for God's revelation. God is about to make himself known. God is about to make himself known. I hope that thrills you. I really do. God is about to make himself known. God is about to reveal himself. He has promised. He has promised that he will reveal himself before the 1,000-year reign begins. That's really what he said. before that 1,000-year reign when Jesus comes to the earth and sets up his kingdom, before that reign can begin, God is going to reveal himself and the nations are going to tremble and the nations are going to shake. The battle of Gog and Magog will be in the mix there somewhere. I mean, all kinds of little things can happen. But I'm telling you, we are down to that hour and we're coming close. I don't know the moment. I don't know the hour. Maybe I might be gone. That's a possibility of that. I'm not claiming anything, but that God is going to reveal himself. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, that thou wouldest be revealed to thine enemies, that the nations might tremble at thy presence. And all of this, he promises, is for those who wait on him. W-A-I-T. What does that word wait mean? It means get on your face somewhere and tie yourself in, tangled with God and with his promises. Get yourself all mixed up in the mix of biblical prophecy and biblical foretold events. Get yourself in the middle of all of them and get yourself yearning and hungering after God and start weeping for the unsaved. Start weeping for the backsliders. Start weeping for those who've left their first love. Start weeping for those who become cold and indifferent and they're lukewarm instead of on fire. And the Lord says, I'll spew them out of my mouth. I mean, we've got a lot to pray for, folks. We've got more to pray for than most people even have any imagination of. And I'm telling you, I'm calling you to get back on your face and start praying and start seeking the face of Almighty God, because he really is waiting on us. That when the right level of praying is going on among the great saints of God, among the great Bible believing people, when the right level of devotion occurs and we're on our face for God at the right moment, God will say, that's it. And it may already be here. It may be tomorrow, maybe today, before today's over. I don't know. I'm looking for it. Almost every time I go out of the church, I've been looking up to see when the wonders are going to appear in the heavens above. I am that conscious and that convinced that we are at that hour and that moment of church history. We're at the moment. Now, let me take you, if I might, to the book of Hebrews 11. The book of Hebrews 11. Do you want to be one of these whom God is getting ready to use in this final hour? Do you want to be one of these that God himself is getting ready to use in this final hour? Tell me, do you? Do you want to be one of them? Do you want to be one of those that God can mightily put his spirit upon and anoint and give you some revelations out of this Bible? What are the revelations of God in the majority of the church world? What are preachers preaching in the great meetings and the great camp meetings and the great events that are occurring everywhere? What are they preaching? I go hear them, and I hear very little that has any degree of reality in the revelations of God and the hour in which we live in. I hear sermons, but I don't hear messages. A sermon, you can put them together dime a dozen, but a revelation from God takes a man on his face, a woman on her face. We've never had such a day when we're so desperate for God to move in his power. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11. I want to talk to you about getting ready for this revelation of God. Getting ready for the nations to tremble. I want to talk to you about being a part of the prayer team that is seeking God with all their heart, that have quit living for pleasures and start living for power. Quit living for just the things of the flesh and living for the things of the Spirit. I'm telling you, the things of the Spirit are more satisfying and thrilling to the heart than anything this flesh has got. The things of God, they are exciting. They are thrilling. They are wonderful. And we are at such a marvelous hour. And what we're about to see is so grandiose. I'm telling you, what we're about to see is so grandiose. You wait till the signs, wonders begin to appear in the heavens, and you can't get in the church because they're so crowded with sinners on their faces crying out to be forgiven of their iniquities and their sinful living. I'm telling you three things that these revelations of God are going to do. Number one, they're going to put the emphasis back on the God of this Bible. They're going to once again let people remember the Father that gave his Son. The Father that gave his Son. And some people can preach about the Son and never preach about the Father who gave His Son. Woe be to people who put more emphasis on two members of the Trinity, the Son and the Holy Spirit, than they put on the first member of the Trinity, God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost need to be the object of our excitement and our thrill and our joy. Listen, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? You know what I'm waiting for? A revelation of God. Nothing else interests me at this point in my life. I love my family. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I'm crazy about my great-grandchildren. I dearly love all of them. I love my friends. I love my preacher friends. They think I'm going a little wacky because I've been on my face too much to for most of them to even think that I've got my good sense yet. But I'm here to tell you, I know what I'm telling you, and I know what I'm talking about, and it's going to happen as sure as my name is Joseph. It really is. God is on the march. Could I say it that way? God is on the march, and God is about to make Himself known. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Hallelujah. We're about to be translated. Did you know that? Hey, that is a testimony of the rapture. That is a pre-biblical look at the rapture. A pre-prophetic look. Listen, let me read it again. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Did you hear that? Are you pleasing God? Are you literally pleasing God? That's the requirement for being translated. Enoch was translated. We're going to be translated. That's what the rapture is. That's a pre-look at the rapture, friend. Have you ever thought about that? I'm telling you, we're fixing to leave here. I may go up. Hey, if I just suddenly disappear, don't think that I did it. You just understand the Lord came in the sky. And when that rapture sounds, when that trumpet sounds, that rapture occurs. As I've often said, when the rapture toots, I'm going to scoot. When the rapture toots, I'm going to scoot. I'm going to be gone from here. I can't wait. Now, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because of his translation. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. He was living so pleasing to God. But look at verse 6. This is so powerful. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God? Oh, I am so bothered by preachers who don't know how to pray. Preachers, they can preach with a lot of enthusiasm, but they can't pray with any enthusiasm. Something missing. I'm here to tell you something missing. You say, Brother Chambers, you always saying too much. I know. I'm always saying too much. Just wait on me. I'll be right here. I'll be saying it till Jesus comes. If the Lord help me, give me strength. I'm reading better today. Can you tell? Still be a little careful. If I don't be careful, I'll miss something. But I'm here to tell you, we are watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now remember that scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, one, that God is. But second, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, people want instant things from God. Instant. Give me an instant miracle and I'll believe you. No, most miracles come because somebody waited on God. But somebody really believed him. God didn't heal me in January when I first got sick and I was in desperate condition. God just let me go 3 months in faith, waiting, preaching. I missed one sermon. I didn't miss anything. It was on my schedule. I was carrying right on, and people were looking at me and saying I'm pale and losing weight. And I don't know what all they were saying. I paid no attention to none of it because I knew God was going to heal me. And when somebody said, man, you sure look bad, I said, don't worry about it. God's in the process. Give God time. He's already promised. I don't have to worry about it. And I didn't. I didn't worry about it. I laid one night in my bed at home and thought to myself momentarily, it didn't last long, I thought maybe I was going. Maybe I was going. Maybe I was on my way up, and it didn't seem too bad to think about it. Didn't have my things in the right position as far as legal, and so I was concerned about that, and I'm still a little concerned. I got to work on that. But I want to tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. It's going to be joy to go out of here with him. It's going to be joy whether by death or by translation. I like that term that Enoch was translated. Woo! I'll tell you, it's going to happen sooner than you even can imagine and understand. Now, I want to make myself available. Anybody that would like to talk with me, call quickly, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Could I have some calls and tell me if you believe what I've said? Do you believe that God is about to reveal himself? Do you believe that God's going to be known by the nations of this earth? Do you believe that? It's in the Bible numbers and numbers of times. But do you believe it? Do you believe that God meant it when he said it and that God's going to perform it? Do you? If you do, let me hear from you. I'd love to hear from two or three, four or five, and talk with you, hear what you got to say, hear it to see if you believe me, see if you have some involvement in it and would like to make some theological statement about it. Jesus is coming, my friends. We're at the door. We're at the door. Now, I know I'm getting a lot of messages probably on Facebook. I get a lot of responses on Facebook. People in India, people in other countries of the world will send a little text and say, I'm listening to you in India. I'm listening to you here or there. And I love that. That's beautiful. I love every one of them. I really do. But I want you to dig in there and really go for God. Now, I want to take you on into the book of Hebrews 11. And I want to somehow get you on the faith kick. I want to get you on the faith kick. What do you mean the faith kick? I mean get in the middle of living by faith. I want to get you in the middle. The just shall walk by faith. The Bible says that. The just shall walk by faith. You're not supposed to live by feelings and emotions and pleasures and the things of the world. You're supposed to live by faith. Believe in God's word, living in God's word, trust in God. The world has to be used. You got to have a car. You need a house to live in. And there's a lot of things you need. I need the same things. I enjoy my car. I enjoy my nice house. I've got a fireplace now, gas fireplace, and I love it. I can sit in front of it when it's cold outside and relax with my Bible and pray and just have a move of the Holy Ghost right there in front of the fireplace. I mean, God is just that real. He'll be just as real as you'll let him be. He'll be just as mighty as you'll let him be. But you got to get along with him. Learn to delight thyself. Let me give you a promise that I love. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Did you hear that? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. You can have anything you desire when you live right, when you live in the right position and power, when you're no longer in love with the world, you don't want a new Cadillac or some big bonus. I mean, when you just want the things that bring glory and honor to God. I'm here to tell you, when you want the things that bring glory and honor to God and you delight in him, he'll actually give you the desires of your heart. I'm listening in case I have a call, 704-391-0588. Let me put that up a minute. I won't leave it up long now. So grab it right quick, will you? Grab it right quick. I want you to hear it. That's the number. 391-0588. Grab your phone. Let me hear from two or three. Let me hear what you think about what Brother Chambers has said today. If you think I'm crazy, call me, tell me. That always helps me when I get some criticism. You know, the Bible said, woe to the man that all men speak well of. I really don't have to worry about that one, to be real honest with you. I really don't have to worry about that one. God is good, though. I'm telling you, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, good morning, Brother Chambers. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I feel great this morning.
God bless you. I'm so glad that you're feeling better. And that is the work of God, and you know that in your life.
Do you believe what I've been saying?
Absolutely, 150%, sir.
It's in the Bible, isn't it?
Pardon, sir?
It's in the Bible over and over.
It is written. It is written. It is all written, and it's all so obvious that people will read their Bible and ask for discernment. It is written, sir. It is so written. And I'm moved by your conversation here today. It's wonderful, and I pray other people call in. And I want to just say God bless you for speaking the truth for the time that we're living in now. And, sir, I want to tell you it's right that we live by faith. I have a testimony. I have a daughter 20 years ago, only daughter, only child. She's 49 years old now, who went away from the Lord. She got full-blown AIDS. I took care of her. She did into drugs. She was a great gal and is alive. But she has turned away from God, and she was following God, and she was brought up with the word of the Lord, and she knows better. And because I believe that God chastised her for being with the wrong person in her life that gave her this horrible disease that she suffered horribly from, but was healed by God Almighty, I believe that totally. And she turned away from God and has not spoken to her mother for 20 years. I still am waiting upon God.
Well, keep praying and don't you doubt.
Pardon me, sir?
Keep praying and don't doubt.
Yes. I keep moving on. I'm 71 years old. God has given me life to pray for her because there is no one on this earth would pray for her salvation out of 7 billion people approximately but me, her mother. And I pray she comes to the saving grace knowledge of Christ.
Okay, I'm going to pray with you. And I love you for calling me. God bless you. God bless you. Keep listening, will you? God bless you. Give us a call now. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884 is our toll-free. You can call on your cell phone if you have unlimited. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from some more. I really do. I want to hear from some more. I want to be able to hear what you're thinking about this. And we all have got children that were raised for God. And this world is in such a turmoil, and they make somebody like me seem so odd and so different. I can't imagine. I can't imagine, I know. But I'm amazed at people who look at me as some, you know, over-the-barrel kind of character preaching things. I don't preach anything but what's in the Bible. And I've got a lot of enemies, a lot of people angry about me, and I don't understand. It really blows my mind. Because I know I've always tried to treat people good and love them. But Jesus is coming. And I'm telling you the truth. This is the darkest day of families having anger all over them. Mothers and daddies hating children. Children hating mothers and daddies. Grandparents are almost on the skids anymore. Of very little interest. I mean, it's just that kind of hour. But what do? We stand tall. We keep smiling. We keep praying. We keep living in the Bible. We keep living in the scripture. God does not fail. Are you hearing me? God does not fail. Listen, I want to take you again to the book of Hebrews 11. And I want to help you understand this. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Now, where am I at? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong page. I'm trying to read Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to lead you in faith today. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place for which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Hey, now, what a statement. Did you hear that? Abraham was called to go to a place which he would later receive as an inheritance, went out not knowing whether he went. Now, that's how the old preachers used to be. I never forget when I was called to preach, Mama and I, my Juanita, we were married about a year, and the Lord said to us, it was time to go. Terry had been born. Well, we'd been married almost 2 years. We liked about 3 months being married 2 years when we stepped out on faith and went into the ministry. We had no promise of nothing. We had no promise of a dollar bill. We had no promise of a home to live in. We had no promise of a salary to receive. We just went in faith, not knowing whether we were going. And God never failed us. God never let us down. I mean, that's how preachers used to do it. You ever heard of that anymore? Talk to the young preachers today. Do you have a 6-room house for me and my family? How much will we get a month? How much will we get a week? What will be our will you take care of our Social Security and take care of our retirements and start putting money in those accounts so when we get old, we'll have it all settled? I mean, that's how people live today. But that's not how we lived in that day when we started. And I'm telling you, God took care of us. You can move by faith and you'll never go hungry. David said, I am old, yet was I young, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, here's what I'm talking about. God is fixing to move upon this culture of ours. Something incredible is about to happen. God is going to reveal himself. Wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord's come. You, if you live a normal life, and Jesus all occurs, as I'm telling you, you're going to see all of this. And you're going to see these kind of things. And you're going to have wonders. And you're going to be scared out of your wits if you're not right with God. For men's hearts fell in them, Jesus said, for fear, for looking on those things coming on the earth. The hour is coming when fear will literally torture the multitudes because they haven't prepared to meet God. They haven't prepared to hear him and to walk with him and to obey him. I'm calling on you to get yourself ready, to get yourself on your face with God and to pray until you know in what moment you are living in. And until you get ready. Oh, what a day. We're talking about the wonders of God about to be revealed. We're talking about signs in the heavens above. Wonders in the heavens above. Signs in the earth beneath. We're talking about when is this going to happen. The Bible said the nations will tremble at his presence. The Bible said the nations will come to know that he is God. God is going to reveal to our world that these false gods are nothing but false gods. He's going to reveal that the religion of the Muhammad, of the Muslims, the religion of Muhammad, the religions of the Hindus, the religion of all these different world religions and national religions are nothing but false stuff. There's only one true and living God. Do you realize right here in America, you've got multitudes now that believe we ought to treat all God. Look at your public education system. As long as you will admit that there are many different gods, you can talk about God. But don't you mention the God Jehovah, who gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because our faith doesn't allow for any other God to exist. And there are no other gods that exist. It's all a bunch of hooey. It really is. One God, his name is Jehovah. He is a God that gave his son, the Lord Jesus, who came and died on the cross of Calvary and redeemed us from our sins, who sent his Holy Spirit, who now fills us and saturates us so that we can have the revelations of God and we can bring our world around us to know the realities of the Bible. Oh, my friend, I cry out to you. Now, I want to stop and tell you, we have a great Christian school here, and I preach to the kids every Friday. body. Right now, I'm walking them through the whole Bible. I started with Adam and Eve, and then I went to Enoch, and then I went to Noah, and then I went to Abraham, and then I went to Jacob, and then I went to Joseph. Next Friday, we're going to go to Moses, and I'm walking them through the Bible to see that God has always used His people to reveal Himself to our world around us. And that's what Christianity is all about, is the revelations of God, the revelations of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it's really beautiful. The Christian faith is so beautiful until I'm always awed by it. I was saved at 16, just a little country boy, couldn't read, but I got in my Bible and learned the Bible, and the Bible is an open and wonderful book to me. I love the Bible. I love the Scriptures. I love dealing with the things that the Bible has revealed to us, because they are indeed wonderful, and they're indeed beautiful. I love to bring people to know them, and to understand them, and to grasp them. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 is the chapter of faith to help you be a witness for this God who wants to reveal Himself. Help you to be a part of waiting on God and praying and seeking the face of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what the Bible says. That's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 39 and 40. Oh, my friend, I'm here to tell you God is looking for people who will wait for Him, who will love Him, who will seek Him with all their heart, who will give their mind to Him and walk in the faith of the blessed Redeemer. He wants you to know all of His loveliness and all of His beauty. Now, let me tell you, in closing today, the rapture is about to occur. I'm telling you, we're so near. We are so near. I preached last Sunday morning from the book of Second Timothy. I'll read a little bit of that to you. Second Timothy, and he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Listen now. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Listen, verse 6, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. My friend, listen, we are living there. We are living there. "This know also in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Listen to that. Without natural affection. Have you ever seen so many people don't even act natural? They don't even have the natural kind of human affections and human understanding and human love. Just gone. Just, I mean, off in netherworld, just out of their minds with things on their mind. My friend, it's that late. All right. Love to have you in church Sunday. I'll be preaching the word in the morning. I promise you, you'll hear the word of God. We've been through a struggle now, about 6 months, really. Goes all the way back to mid-spring. Just a fight for our existence, but God's helping us. We need you. We need people that love the things of God and that would be ready to let God have His way in their life. Are you one of those? Would you like to let God have His way in your life and get yourself on fire for Him and with Him and get yourself ready for that blessed rapture? I know it's almost over. I got to go. But I'll be right back next Saturday, the Lord willing. I bring you something from God. Make sure you share this, will you? Make sure you share this. I think it's very important that you share this, that others will hear and know and feel the truth. It's later than you think, my brothers and sisters. It's later than you think. I love you.
As He passes by,
listen, reach out and touch the Lord.
He's
not too
busy
till you hear your heart's cry.
To by this moment, your needs he'll supply. Oh, just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Sing it with me. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Would you stand?
Just reach out.
Hallelujah.
And touch the Lord as he passes by.
Hallelujah.
You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord.